Good morning. It is a privilege to be here this morning, to be amongst brethren that make it a priority to come early in the morning and just to share a devotional word from God and just start the day with focus on Christ and knowing full well that we are reliant on Him, on His energy, on His grace, His mercy, His blessing. That in as much as He gives us life, and He promises to always do that, it is still up to us to persevere and reach out towards Him. Many an athlete prepares for their career and prepares for their sporting code by exercising a certain muscle group and exercising a certain practice of sport, whether it be basketball, football, rugby, athletics. And in their journey, and they cultivate that practice from a very young age, and in their journey, they become professional. And even more so after that they become professional, do they find and get themselves professional coaching, conditioning coaches, some and many sports, sporting codes, nearly all sporting codes nowadays, psychological coaches, coaches that helps that help them to focus and strive towards a certain goal. And they've got specific intervals for specific medals of honor that they wish to contend for. And many a day in most sports, it's the Olympics, which comes around every 4 years. Something that happens annually is various world championships or major tournaments that they participate in. But as good as they are and as record-breaking athletes that they've developed themselves to be with the help of coaches, they still continue getting coaching. They still continue needing coaching. They still continue needing sharpening themselves. Meaning that regardless of how professional they are and how good they are at their sporting code, they always have to strive for better. They sometimes get injuries and they've got to endure those injuries. And through some of those injuries, they've got to then, following those injuries, they've got to then persevere. So this morning, what I want to speak on, I'm going to make a lot of reference to 2 Timothy, chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then Mark chapter 6. I won't be able to read all the scriptures, but I'll just make reference to them because it's quite a bit. I want to speak on endurance versus perseverance. And obviously, it makes relevant the reference that I made with regards to professional sportsmen always getting themselves coached, getting themselves conditioned, enduring the pain that they're going through, and then also persevering. And Father's been speaking to me in this past week and a half, 2 weeks, about endurance and perseverance. At first, it was first just the word endure versus endurance, and then persevere versus perseverance. And I realized that the message for today is endurance versus perseverance. So, Father God Almighty, we just want to thank you, Lord, for giving us the energy, giving us the day, giving us the mindset, Father God Almighty, to gather here in your name. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for being a giving Father, a life-giving Father, and not just giving, but giving it abundantly. Thank you, Lord, for all that we have. Thank you, Father God Almighty, for all aspects of our lives, even the areas that we don't think is so nice, Father God, because we are very carnal in our thinking, Lord, and then we sometimes reduce some challenges that we have, Father God Almighty, and obstacles that we face, we reduce it to bad luck or even with the enemy. We become very spiritual and reduce it to the enemy, Father God, and sometimes we miss identifying, Lord God Almighty, that we go through opportunities in growing ourselves so that we can endure. We're going through challenges so that we can persevere. And Father God, I ask that this morning that you bless my lips, Father God Almighty, as I will attempt to speak what you asked me and what you gave me, Father God, to speak. Father God Almighty, bless my heart so that the message is not just for the listener, but to myself as well, Father God. I speak, Lord God Almighty, that your Holy Spirit will come and rest upon us and give us a revelation of your word as you wish, Father God. In Jesus' name. So, what is endurance? I mean, we all have our opinions. The dictionary has got a definition with regards to what endurance is. And according to the Oxford English Dictionary, endurance is experiencing or surviving pain or hardship. This is a form of tolerance. That is endurance. When we look at our lives, there have been instances where we had to endure pain. And this could be for many reasons. Just to think about it, a very easy thing to make reference to is to endure the pain of the death of a loved one. One endures through that, and it doesn't feel good, doesn't feel nice, but you do know that if you abide in endure, the pain will go over, because Father comes and he heals our heart, and some people deal with it differently, but Father comes, if we are God-centered, then Father comes, he heals our heart, and even provides us with revelation through that whole experience. Endurance can be considered as a quality that makes the individual accept the situation and tolerate it. That is what an endurance is. So it is basically to endure through pain and then also to develop a tolerance for a situation. A few examples. One can say that she has endured all the hardships without complaint. Basically, someone having been in a situation, knowing that they've got to go through a difficult circumstance and then endures it. And knowing that, you know, sometime or the other, it's going to be over. And sometimes one can also endure, will also have to endure being treated badly by others. And another simple form of endurance is my earlier reference with regards to sport, is that many an athlete, and especially athletes doing marathons and ultra marathons, we usually marvel at their endurance because the levels of pain that they've got to go through in exercising their sport. And endurance is an intentional thing. Endurance it's a decision. Because as much as you have practiced, as much as you have exercised your muscle groups, as much as you have prepared for a specific event, there comes a time in that event when it becomes difficult. Perhaps you're playing a sport where there's a strong opposition and you've got to go through pain and endure through pain to get to the other side, or maybe like a boxer, just get to the next round, and then in the next round you recover and you regather yourself, and then perhaps you can be on top of the game again. So endurance is an intentional decision. Endurance doesn't come accidentally. Endurance isn't something that you pray for. Endurance is something that you exercise. Endurance is a characteristic. And I'll tell you now why I say it's a characteristic. But to make sense of today's message, we've got to juxtapose endurance to perseverance. Now, one can easily argue that, you know, it's very similar. It's related. One could even argue that it's the same thing. But it is not completely so. Because endurance is experiencing or surviving pain or hardship, whereas perseverance refers to continuing in that hardship and in that pain in spite of the difficulty and the lack of success. Perseverance means that it could be in the face of failure. Perseverance means that I will have to hold out, I will have to push, and I will have to strive and still be full of hope. Even though if I was a boxer, I lost round one, I lost round two, three, four, and five, but I've not been knocked out yet. Maybe I've been down, but not out yet. So I need to persevere, because perseverance is in the face of failure many a day. Perseverance means that failure stares you in the face. Perseverance is many a day in the face of criticism from our friends, from not just people in the audience, but our friends too, from our loved ones. You are trying to contend for a specific title, for a specific action, for a specific result. Things are not going your way. You're in a business transaction. You're losing money. Your reputation is being questioned. And then it takes perseverance, because it's in the face of, it's in spite of all the negativity that is being thrown your way, that one has got to focus and still be passionate within what you do. Because if you're not going to be passionate, you're not going to execute the very thing that you wish to do or the very result that you desire to achieve if there's no passion in it. So perseverance, also a characteristic, but even more so, it's an attitude. Perseverance is an attitude. And I said endurance is a characteristic. Now, let's see what does the dictionary say about perseverance. The dictionary says, perseverance refers to continuing in spite of difficulty and lack of success. This gives the idea that although a person encounters failure in life, does not give up, but tries hard to achieve his goals. Perseverance is a quality that can be extremely valuable to all of us, if we cultivate it. It trains the individual not only to endure, but also to continue their journey without giving up. So it is good to endure, a brilliant characteristic to have, because you're able to hold out and able to see through in spite of pain. But perseverance says we are able to endure and continue on the journey without giving up. So it means one can have an endurance, but without perseverance, somewhere along the line, you are going to give up. Because if there's no hope, then why are you going to keep on striving? You're not going to keep on striving if there's no hope. So, the key difference between endurance and perseverance is that while endurance suggests mere tolerance of hardship in life, perseverance suggests going against this very same hardships to succeed. So as much as we endure, we've got to persevere. Because it is not an automatic thing that when we endure, we persevere. And we cannot persevere if we don't endure. So the two are synonymous. They go hand in hand. They are built in such a way that it encourages our spirit, it develops hope within our heart, and it provides us with a tolerance. It gives us a tolerance that, yes, that although I'm going to be pushed back, although I'm not going to see success from the beginning, I'm gonna hold out. Now, all of this might sound, yeah, you say all of that because it comes out of the dictionary. And how does one actually achieve these things in life? So, to highlight the aspects of endurance, I'm going to make reference to 2 Timothy chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. And for perseverance, I'm mostly going to refer to Mark chapter 6. It's obviously an accepted fact, it's an accepted norm that no one enjoys suffering. But suffering in life is a necessity. And I know sometimes we like to, you know, go all spooky spiritual on ourselves and saying that God is a good God and God gives life and gives life in abundance and God wants the best for us. And he says that in Jeremiah 29:11 that, you know, he's got a future filled with hope for us. And is this future filled with hope is to live a life in abundance and in prosperity. But Father doesn't say that it's not going to come without challenge, because there's many a place in the Bible that he makes reference to challenge, and he adequately displayed this when he sent us his son, when he sent Christ Jesus, the risen Christ, when he sent him before he was the risen Christ to walk the life of a human being, and to conduct himself amongst human beings and to be challenged to be characterized as well by opposition, not just opposition by the devil, but also by life, the challenges that he had to go through, and also to be challenged by those who followed him. His disciples, sometimes suffering of disbelief, sometimes having a lack of hope, and even by the custodians of the church, those who were supposed to speak of the word of God and to bring the hope that God's word is supposed to bring, they challenged him. They were obstacles, and they had cause for him to endure, and they had cause for him to persevere. And in his endurance and perseverance, he showed us exactly how to push through in spite of, even in the face of the opposition, even in the presence of everything looking like a failure. He pushed through. And in the scripture, it says that we can expect hardships and suffering to increase. So we have to be prepared. And this is expressed in 2 Timothy 2:3, and then also in 2 Timothy 3:1-4 and 13. It expresses that we've got to be prepared for hardships, expect those hardships and sufferings, and it will also increase. Not only will it come, it will also increase. Why will it increase? We all know that as our faith increases, the enemy has always got an attempt to diminish us, to break us down, to make us feel weary and burdened and heavily laden. So as our faith increases, obviously, where my faith was yesterday, if my faith increased from yesterday to today by one measure, then obviously yesterday's challenge is not going to be a challenge for me today, because I endured it, I persevered, and I came through it. So if the enemy is going to think that he's going to throw that very same thing in my path, and I'm going to break and falter, it's not going to work, because I've grown beyond that already. So increase in the intensity of one's suffering, in the intensity of one's opposition in life, in the intensity and severity of being questioned, it's going to vary from situation to situation. But come, it will come, as the scripture says. And we also learn from the book of 2 Timothy that we may experience suffering as a result of our testimony. Our godly living, how we stand for the truth. We might be challenged by that. We might be challenged by that. How will that happen? Because of our testimony and our godly living. Because when we profess God's word, when we profess the way of God, the way of Christ, the way Christ showed us, which is the right way, which is the fair way, which is the ethical way, which is the moral way, which is supposed to be the Christian way, which is supposed to be the way of life of any human being. When we do those things, we get questioned. Why? Because the world has given itself to the worldly system. The world has given itself to cutting the corners. And cutting the corners many a day, if not every day, means that when you cut the corners, it means that you're going to break the law. It means you're going to do things underhanded. It means you're going to pay a bribe for a project. It means that it eventually spurns out to that. If one doesn't live a life with a specific set of rules and standards and moral and ethical values, that will happen. So when we profess the godly way of life in our testimonies and stand for the truth, that will happen. We may also experience suffering when we are rejected or left alone. And that comes from a natural consequence of our flesh, having worldly desires. But suffering will come indeed. So says Apostle Paul. He says, suffering will come indeed. But God can give us the grace and the power to overcome every trial and to fulfill our purpose and mission in his kingdom. In his second epistle to Timothy, the Apostle Paul also shares the important truths about how we can endure suffering. So obviously endure being the verb, being the action. To endure means I accept I'm doing this thing. However, endurance is the noun. It becomes then a characteristic. It's a way of life that I practice. So it becomes a characteristic. So of the key principles to help us to endure and understand why we need to endure is that Apostle Paul reminds us that we shouldn't forget why we are suffering. Remember your purpose, whom you serve, and what you are serving, what institution you are serving. It's the institution of God that you are serving. And Apostle Paul says he was willing to suffer for the proclamation of the gospel for the sake of the elect, which is us, and the glory of God. Our suffering, big or little, can be used to bring about the same purpose. So suffering doesn't mean if Jason suffers more than me and he endures that, he's more holy than me. It's just relevant to Jason's life, and it's relevant to the chapter of his life. It's relevant to his purpose. It's relevant to where he's going. And perhaps sometimes one could go through a smaller chapter in life or a chapter in life that you think is not so significant, and then your endurance requirement is so much harder, and then you think, but why am I going through so much harder endurance? Why do I have to go through so much harder endurance than perhaps my brother next to me? It's because of where you are heading to. Maybe there where you are heading, you're going to require a lot more resilience. So Father is cultivating you, giving you an environment, allowing an environment, and giving you the grace to push through all of that. Because in his word, it also says that he will never expose you to more than what you can handle. It's a GIC scripture as well. And even if you are, it's not uncommon. If you think it is, it's not uncommon to man. And he'll also provide you with a way out. He's not going to expose you to something that's going to break you. So whatever challenge comes, just remember this one thing. As the challenge comes, it means the presence of a challenge means that you are quite capable of handling it. It means you are quite capable of enduring through that. You are quite capable of overcoming it. The second principle that Paul reminds us of to have so that we can endure is remember that you are a prisoner of Christ. You're not a prisoner of your circumstance. Why prisoner of Christ? Because in the word it says that we are bond slaves. Apostle Paul in Timothy makes reference to being a bond slave to Christ. Meaning, whatever Christ asks of him to endure, he'll endure. And so, it is rather a privileged position to be a prisoner of Christ as opposed to being a prisoner of your circumstance. Our circumstance does not determine our future. Our circumstance merely has an impact on the decision that we're going to make. It does not determine our future. Our circumstance is supposed to be a catalyst to encourage us to the right decision, to be principled, to remain steady, to persevere, and then it brings about change. Apostle Paul also says in his third principle, he says, keep going back to the things you know to be true from God. As the scripture says that you will be tested and not beyond your limits, and it's not uncommon to man, and God says in his word that he'll provide you with a way out, it means that in his word, there's a way out. Because the Bible is our manual on how to live life, to extract principles from, if we apply them, that we will be able to succeed. Keep doing whatever God has called you to do. If God has called you to run a non-profit organization and empower a poor community or educate children, keep doing that very thing which God has called you to do. It is amazing how much less challenge and obstacles are in our lives, especially our professional lives, even in our marriages as well, if we focus on the very thing that God has called us for. Then we sort of like stay in that zone. If you stay in that zone, it is easy to hear what God has God intended for you for your life because you are staying within that path that he has crafted, which he has blueprinted specifically just for you. And the further away you go from it, you might experience a lot more challenge and obstacle because the challenge and obstacle wants to encourage you to get back to where you're supposed to be, where your focus is supposed to be at. And sometimes when we lose focus, we tend to think, because we develop a stronger desire in our carnality, then we tend to think, but why am I receiving so much more obstacles now? Maybe it's because we're not focused on where we're supposed to be at. And the reference that Apostle Paul makes to that is in 2 Timothy 4 verses 1 to 5. The other area, the other principle number 5 in how one can endure is to trust God to deal with those who oppose the truth. If you know that you know that you know that the very thing that you are doing is the thing that God has called you for, you know that you are standing in, you're in right standing with God, you know that you are doing this thing in an ethical way, in a morally acceptable way, you know that you are following the rules, you know that you are calling for standing for good principles, then trust God. Sometimes we've got to trust God and stop taking matters into our own hands to become bitter and argumentative, because we can so easily, in the call that God has given us, that we ought to execute, and we ought to execute with passion, because if we don't have passion, how can we convince somebody else to buy into something that I'm telling them, sharing with them, or doing for them, if I'm not passionate and committed to the very thing that I'm sharing? So bitterness and becoming involved in the quagmire of your opposition, that takes away, that steals energy from you, that just drains you, it's that just burdens you. And why do you want to be burdened if you know what God says about you, if you know what God says about what you are doing? So Apostle Paul reminds us that we need to trust God as opposed to those who oppose us with the truth. The other thing that you can use, principle number 6, that you can use to encourage you when you want to endure: take a step back, pause, and remember the times that God has delivered and rescued you. All of us in our growth in life, in our Christian life, in our growth, whatever we do, whatever challenges that we may be faced with, we have all started at a baby faith, because that's where we start in life as individuals. And also in our Christian life, we start at a level where God can nurture us and cultivate us and grow us and allow us to become mature within His Word. And in that entire journey, Father has surely rescued you. He surely protected you at one stage or the other. So sometimes when one is faced with the opposition and challenge to endure, just take a pause. Go back and look at these situations in your life where Father's rescued you or delivered you from a situation. And principle number 7 is one of the, I think, to me, the most important. And the references again comes from 2 Timothy 1 and 2, verses 1, 9, and 2 Timothy 4, verse 22. Rely on the resources that God has given you. What resources, you might ask? Point number 1 is the one resource that comes regardless who you are. It comes just because God is God. It's the grace of God. That's the first resource. One of your first resources during a period of being challenged and opposed and being cast down and being told that you're going to fail, and where the enemy just wants to come and destroy and kill you, kill your dream, kill the passion that you have for life, is to go to the resources that we have. And the first one is the grace of God. The secondly, the gift of God. And what is the gift of God? The first attribute of the gift of God is your God-given ability to serve Him. There's nothing. You require no external source. You require no external thing or someone to serve God. You require no external motivation other than just making a decision and say, God, the situation is not good. God, I feel oppressed. God, I'm challenged. I feel I want to give up. But Father, I choose to praise You. I choose to come to You and worship You. Lord, You've given me Your grace. You said that I'm Your son. You said that if I worship You and I glorify Your name, Lord, that the two things that You'll reveal to me is that You are the God I am. And the other thing is that You are God the rewarder. Hebrews 11 verse 6. He says He's God the I am. There's the two things that Father, I don't know if I can reduce it to this, and forgive me, Father God, for using this expression. Father brags about, the two things that He brags about Himself is that He's the God I am and He's God the rewarder. So it means that He is true to His word, which He says is higher than His word is higher than His name, and He's God the rewarder. He says that those who love me, those who seek me diligently, I shall reward them. So there's nothing, you require nothing external to motivate yourself to serve God. Then there's the power of God. You call upon His strength, not your own. Because Father promises us that if we are weak, He is strong in us. When we are weak, we are strong because He's then strong in us and through us. Call on the power of God. There's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, You come and dwell upon and within me. You come and encourage me. You come and show me the way. You help me make the decision. You help me see through all of this noise, through all of this dust. Allow me to see through this. And the Holy Spirit does that. And then the other resource that we have is then obviously the Word of God. Go to the Bible. Whatever situation we have in life, I don't think there will be another, not I don't think, I know there will never be another author of a book that can write a book in such a way that can make reference to any situation in life. The Bible has got each and every situation. And if you need to read about a testing passage in the Bible about opposition and challenge, go no further than Job. Job has seen it all and faced it all, but still he praised the Lord. He lost family, but still he praised the Lord. He lost business, lots of riches, but still he praised the Lord. He lost friends and reputation, but still he praised the Lord. And the life of Job is not something to brag about how the enemy can come and challenge you. The life of Job is actually a brag about Father saying, expressing to the enemy, expressing to the devil, you said my son can't. There's the characteristics. There's the character of my son. Here, there's everything, the essence of my son who believes in me, who praises me, because God strengthened him through all that situations. So the life of Job is testimony to just what the power of God can do, regardless of what the circumstance is. Principle number 8, remember that you are not alone in suffering. If you think you are alone, let's go to our brother called Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ suffered not even for himself, he suffered for us. Jesus Christ gave his life, endured pain. He endured being criticized. He endured being taken down in society. Not for himself. Not even for himself. Because he was without blame. He was without blemish. And yet he did that for us. So you're not alone. And the other thing that you can also look at is, if you are in the right community, if you're in right standing with God, you're in a community of God, just speak to your brothers around you. I promise you, you're going to find out that each and every one of them has got some challenge in their lives. You are not alone in suffering. And sometimes, when you go, many a healing school, many a process where you go for inner healing, or where you go to understand the hurt and shame in your life, when you go to the small groups, what do? There? You share. And the minute people share, then you start realizing, oh man, and yeah, I thought my situation was so life-challenging. My situation is actually nothing if I listen to what Jason has got to share, or what Sandeep shared about his growing up. And I think, man, I thought I had it tough. When you listen to your fellow believers, your brothers around you, you'll be encouraged. I'm not saying that you must thrive in the hardships of others, but it is just how God has put us together. And principle number 9 is, no matter how difficult things are today, you can face the future with hope. Trust the truth of Scripture. I mean, Scripture says that all wrongs will one day be righted. That's 2 Timothy 3, verse 8 to 9. And 2 Timothy 4, verse 14. The Lord will deliver us from all evil in His name and in His way. That's 2 Timothy 4, 17 and 18. Counsel your heart according to the truth and promises of God. We're reminded by that in Psalm 27. So, Father does not leave us without hope. He gives us words of encouragement. Then, principle number 10, which I think is something that should be foremost on our minds. In all your suffering, Just remember Christ Jesus. His life and his suffering and sacrifice for us. His triumph over Satan, sin and death, the resurrected Christ. His power, promise and his presence. And what he's doing in heaven for you. Because Christ Jesus says, he's in heaven, he's our intercessor, he's our brother. He argues our cases when we pray. That's why we pray through Christ Jesus to Father God. Because he argues our cases. He intercedes on our behalf and places it on the table. And says, Father, this is your son. Your son who's redeemed through the death of me. Through the life of me after the death. Your son who is redeemed. This is his case. This is his circumstance. Let me just go a bit quicker through this. So, and then when we focus on perseverance, I've only got 5 principles to focus on there. One need to remember with regards to perseverance. Perseverance is something that you think, man, it would be so great if I have that. Accept the fact that you're not always going to have it. You're not always going to have it. However, when you endure, you develop a characteristic and you develop an innate ability to persevere. So you need to endure so you can get to the level of persevering. God never slumbers nor sleeps. You and I are often faced with our limitations. And then we slumber and sleep. And that is so aptly displayed when the 12 disciples came up against their own limitations in Mark chapter 6. After they had spent considerable time casting out demons and healing the sick in Jesus' name in Mark 6, 12 and 13, the men were weary with serving and had no leisure even to eat from the ministry they continued to do. So they became weary in spite of being in the presence of Christ, in spite of exercising what Christ has showed them how to, in spite of operating with the presence of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. They became weary because it's in a human nature to sometimes where we want to go in a tough situation and we rather want to reflect on the difficulties that we are faced with as opposed to reflect on the aspects that got us through and got us to that place. So, of those key principles that we need to have for perseverance. Perseverance comes through submitting to the plans of God for your life. Because sometimes God's plan is not our own plan, especially if we didn't ask God correctly and we didn't pray through with regards to what it is that we want to do. And sometimes then we find there's a bit of opposition or perhaps a lack of understanding with regards to the purpose that God has given us and what it is that we want. And then we express it in a way that is not perhaps as pure and as aligned with God's word for our life. But the minute I submit my own desires, the minute I submit that and acknowledge that God is making a way for me to go to SP Shanghai. That's something that's foremost in our minds because that's about to happen here. And I keep on trying to do something and want to stay here in Hong Kong. I'm going to keep on being faced with opposition and challenge. Because it's not the ideal, because Father obviously is bringing opposition and is allowing the opposition and challenge to cultivate my mind to see to the things, to see and eventually get to the place where I can see. I'm actually called for SP Shanghai. And it's not spooky and spiritual, just I might have received a prophetic word, I might have prayed and someone might have said and given me a prophetic word with regards to functioning there. I might have received a job offer there that is actually an increase from where I'm at, or might not even be an increase, but a good professional opportunity there. And I keep on saying no. I don't go to God and say, Lord, what is it that you are trying to tell me? So submitting to the plans God has for our lives helps us to cultivate perseverance. Perseverance. One of the traits of perseverance should be that you should always have love. And how do we have love in a challenging situation? We need to ask the Lord. We need to ask the Holy Spirit. We can't do that on our own. Perseverance, we also learned earlier, is the ability not just to endure, but it is to fight in the face of failure, lack of success. That is to persevere. And when we persevere in those circumstances, when we are faced with failure and lack of success, we still need to give our offering. We still need to exercise that what we do. We still need to represent God, giving everything that we have as a worship. Because if it's not as a worship, maybe we are just going through the actions. Maybe we are just trying to make the actions and think that we can convince God. And ultimately, to persevere, one has got to trust the ability of God to provide what you cannot. Because persevering sometimes is beyond your capacity. It's beyond your patience, beyond your tolerance. So to persevere, we need to trust in the ability of God. God said He'll deliver us. So every situation, He'll be able to deliver us from. And the last aspect, the last principle to persevere is, if you fail and you feel that you can't make sense of it, you can't get good advice about something, stop, pause. Again, it was within endurance as well, a principle. Stop and pause. Seek Christ, and He will provide you with an answer. Through the Holy Spirit, He's going to give you an answer. So, why is endurance and perseverance so important? Well, thank you for asking. I'll gladly answer that. And it comes from Romans 5, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into His grace, in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, which is endurance, because now that suffering produces perseverance, so endurance produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. So when Father says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the future I have for you. It's a future filled with hope, a future of prosperity and life in abundance. Hope, the very same hope, Father says, it comes through enduring, persevering, developing your character, and then ultimately having hope. So we can't have hope if we don't endure and we don't persevere. And we also have learned now that enduring and persevering develops a character within us. And there's a statement my pastor in South Africa always makes. He says, the grace of God, the grace and blessing of God will bless and elevate you, but it's your character that will sustain you. So God can bless you with so many responsibility, with lots of finances. He can bless you with lots of things in life. But if you don't develop the character, the very thing that you are blessed with can also, you might think it, but it's actually you yourself can cause your demise. So we have to endure and persevere. In that way, we develop character and we fill our tank with hope, because it comes through Father God Almighty. So let us not be guilty of not having hope, because we didn't want to endure and we didn't want to persevere. Let's remember the daily lives of professional sportsmen, sports people, that even though they are professional, even though they are at the top of their game, they endure pain and they persevere circumstances and challenge and injuries and to get to the top. So let's not be any different. Let's be professional in serving God. Let's be professional servants of God. Let's endure, persevere, develop the character so that we can have hope. Father God, I just pray, Lord, that the word that I just shared now, Lord God Almighty, you will come, Holy Spirit, and come and make sense of it all in our hearts and our minds. I pray, Father God Almighty, that we develop a capacity, Lord, a capacity to endure and persevere, Father God, by allowing ourselves to run towards You, Father God. Because if all else fails, Father God, we don't have to remember all these things and be smart. We just need to remember to run to You. Because you are always there, Father God. You are ever present. You are omnipresent, Father God Almighty. And You see and hear each and every circumstance we are in. I don't know what the challenge of each and every one is here this morning, Father God, or those listening to the recording. But Father God, I just pray, Lord God Almighty, that within the midst of each and everyone's circumstance challenging them right now, Lord, that Holy Spirit, you increase their faith to just run towards you and say, Lord, here am I. Help me. Father God Almighty, I pray that we can develop those the characteristic that you want us to have and become strong so that you can be proud of us. And you're already proud of us, Father God. Even though that we are sinners, you chose to save our lives, Father God. So thank you, Lord God Almighty, for your love, for your care. Thank you for your protection. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray for our community, for those suffering with cancer. Let's endure. Let's call of the spirit of perseverance, not just for them, but for us with them, for us to endure and persevere with them. Let us push in the spirit and pray up a storm each and every day, being encouraged that the result might not be present or visible right now, but we ultimately are people filled with hope. Let's also think of those in our community who are suffering from illness and needing salvation. Let's lift them up. Let's call upon the laborers of the harvest for those, the families, the people involved. Let's call for, as the illness comes, as the illness is healed, so too will the souls be healed. Let's pray for where the illness is upon a servant of God, that the families and the friends, the circle of people around the person, those people's souls will be saved. Let's think about those who are suffering from infirmities. Let's just ask Father to just lift the burden, remove the burden. He reminds us through His Son, through our brother Christ Jesus, that His method is easy and His yoke is light. So Father, we just pray to come and bring an easiness, Father God, not an easiness to cope, Father God. We realize, we believe, Father God, that healing is imminent. Let's think about those in our community standing and asking and believing for jobs. And let's just pray for great opportunities, God-given opportunities. Let's pray for the wisdom to understand when it is something that is not meant for them to, but for them to be focused on what God has got intended for their lives. Father God Almighty, I just want to pray for Leanne, Calvin, Eliam, Tammy, David, and Conrad, Father God Almighty. I just want to, Father God, I just want to emphasize the fact that, Father, it is more important for them to be in the purpose that you have for their lives, Father God, as opposed to, Father God, what is just another opportunity that could distract them and that could lead them away, Father God, from where you want them to be focused. Father God, we call that by your stripes, Father God, that the correct opportunities open in the lives, the correct doors open in the lives of the names that we just read now, Father. We pray, Father, for profound, Father God, profound favor in their lives, Father God. We ask, Father God Almighty, that you connect them, Father God Almighty, to the people that it is perhaps that they need to be connected to for their future and for the purposes of where they need to work. We call for your grace, Father God. We call, Father God, for them to have an enduring and persevering spirit within their heart too, Lord God Almighty, so that they know that they're walking in your favor. Let's pray for our mission focus, North Korea. Open doors for ministry, and I suppose praise the Lord for what is happening with regards to politically in the country there, in North Korea, because the more they open themselves to the world, the more relaxed, I suppose, their stringent laws and regulations will become. Missional opportunities, partnerships in Asia, and the persecuted churches, specifically in the Middle East. Let's think about the weekend gatherings, Alpha, prison outreach, drug rehab and outreach, Sunday services, Noah's Ark, worship, hospitality, youth, Yahweh, spin services and activities, and all meetings. Also pray for our house churches gathering today, and pray that Father provide a revelation and an understanding to the leaders, the members, everybody, with regards to Sunday's message. As I'm also just reminded now with the focus on the house churches, that Father's not done with our story. He's not done with your story, so that they can have that hope and have that perseverance that Father's still busy with their story. Father God Almighty, we also want to just come in and lift up the parenting seminar, Father God, as it is intended, Lord God Almighty, to equip us as parents, equip the parents within the house, Father God, so that the parents can equip the children, Father God, so they can raise your beautiful creation, Father God Almighty, in a way that they will know you and understand your word, Father God, and that when they grow up, they shall not depart from it, Father God. An equipping session, Father God, to equip us as parents, Father God, to reinforce the capacity within us so that we can teach our children, Father God, to endure and persevere as well. Endure and persevere with the belief in you, Father God Almighty, and the understanding, Lord God Almighty, that ultimately you, Father God, ultimately you will finish their story. Ultimately you, Lord God Almighty, will assist them to finish strong, Father God. That you're running with them, Father God, and they ought to run the race. It's just a decision to run the race. And thank you, Lord, that we can also lift up the annual retreat coming up, Father God. Praying, Lord God Almighty, for your Holy Spirit to come and just come and reveal to us in a new dimension of you, Father. For the word and those who bring the word, Father God, to be blessed in such a way, Father God, that you speak to us in a way that and bring a message to us, Father God, which is just correct, Father God, just what you had in mind for us. We pray, Father God Almighty, for everybody involved in the operational preparation for the retreat with regards to them executing the organization around it, Lord. We ask for favor, Father God Almighty. We ask, Lord God Almighty, that you make the way straight, Father God. We ask, Heavenly Father, that we will have smooth sailing with regards to all the aspects of the retreat, Father. The traveling, Father God, of the guest speakers. The safety of everybody involved. The environment to where we're going to, Father God Almighty. We speak, Heavenly Father, that it is a prepared time for us, Father God Almighty, and that the environment will receive us, Father. And at that time when we receive the message at the retreat, Father God Almighty, that it will be a frequency that goes out not just into our ears, but also to the environment in which it is spoken, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we can run to you, and thank you that we can ask of you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. And thank you that we know, Father God Almighty, that all shall be delivered in your name. Thank you, everybody, and you can continue with your quiet time as you wish. Thank you.